burgers and hamburger patties. All the food you need to feed the many hungry. Millions of people run into my party, but it's invite only, and you're on the list, baby.
You're gorgeous.
I cleaned it yesterday.
Girls like you
in their swimming suits.
Holy guacamole.
We've got chips, so come on, take a dip, 'cause my pool ribs.
It was a pool party for the cool kids at my school. It was a pool party for the cool kids at my school. It's so cool in my pool. It's so cool.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio, the podcast where we talk about stuff and communicate verbally. I'm Parker. And
I'm...
Oh, sorry. I'll do that part again. I'm Parker.
And I'm Jason.
And this week we're here with guest pod, also a podcaster who does the Junk Food Dinner podcast. And his name is Mark Fredo Jr. Hello, Mark Fredo Jr.
Hi, I'm Jason. Fuck.
hey, it only work if somebody's stepping over your intro. Go ahead and start, and I'll walk all over it. Hold on.
Okay, cool. Hey,
I had something to say about...
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. You should have stepped over his intro by saying that you were Jason again.
Oh, yeah.
Up first on the show, I wanted to say real quick that you can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com and go to our website, poolpartyradio.com. And follow Frisbee on Twitter at Jason Frisbee, and leave us
On iTunes as well.
Yes, especially iTunes. Leave us stuff on iTunes. So yeah, how are you guys doing this week?
How you doing, Mark?
Oh, I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing okay.
I haven't really done anything. I've just been working. I'm off the next 2 days, so today was kind of my Friday. But I worked 11 hours, so.
Wow.
I didn't do anything but work today. And of course, today's like the first day all week that it wasn't overcast or storming. It was like gorgeous and 80.
And you're inside all day?
I was inside all day.
Shit. Did you have to? Where do you work?
I work at a cheese counter. I sell cheese. Sling curd.
Sling curd?
Yeah, that gold mold.
Did you have to open and close today? Is that why you're there 11 hours? Wow.
Yeah.
That's rough. And you were just like looking out the window while everybody else had like kites and...
Yeah, people were like opening fire hydrants and shit, and like
the ice cream truck rolls down, free ice cream today only.
Yeah, exactly. But you have to come outside. Paul Giamatti came in, which was cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he doesn't like goat cheese, so you guys know if you're ever at a party and he's there, you can complain about goat cheese as an icebreaker.
That's exactly what I would do, even if I didn't know that. I'd just be like, man, I hate all this bullshit ass goat cheese everywhere.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because when I was watching Schenectady, New York, there's a moment when he's in that house that's on fire where I just thought, God, he really doesn't look like he likes goat cheese at all. He just looks like the type.
He might be a really good method actor. Like maybe the pig vomit character from Private Parts didn't like goat cheese, so now he just doesn't like
He absorbs it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very nice otherwise. I mean, not that he's not nice.
He's not pushing like over cheese displays as he comes in. Fuck this.
Nice cheese, dickheads. No, that didn't happen.
But yeah, also at the top of the show, I wanted to mention that we have a new rule on the show. This hasn't really happened. we run a tight ship here. We got rules. This hasn't happened too much, but I figured that we're probably going to get into disagreements, arguments, things like that on the show. And if at any time your argument is really, really, that means you have lost the argument from now on.
Oh, no.
And this isn't in reference to any one specific person. It's with general. We really just want to get a better sense of discussion, and it really doesn't cut it. And if anybody says really, then there will be 10 points deducted from Gryffindor. And 10 points awarded to Slytherin. So, just watch out.
Guys.
They are the bad guys. You can tell because of the name.
So, yeah, that's the new rule going forth. Now that we have that unpleasant business, the unpleasant business of dictatorship out of the way, I would like to tell you guys about something that happened to me this week. And I was watching this movie, Martyrs. Have you guys seen this movie? It's a French horror movie.
No, I haven't, actually. Was it a... what is it about?
Well, it's like this super, like, ultra-violent sort of a thing. I've been hearing about it a lot for a long time, and people keep saying that it's like, you know, this crazy, violent thing with, like, a horrible ending that makes you sad and stuff like this. And so I finally got down to watch it. And while I was watching it, there's a scene sort of like in the middle where a girl is like tied up and then she's like force fed like a bunch of junk. And then a guy comes in and just beats the crap out of her. Like a guy just wallops on her, punches her in the face and in the stomach for all these many minutes.
Oh,
and,
dear.
Yeah. And right before this scene, I got a knock at the door and unthinking, I just got up to answer it. And it's like the Comcast people who've come to check to see how our services are going. I guess that's something they do out here. Yeah, so anyway, so I answered the door, and there in full view of me, of my TV, which is just depicting a guy beat the shit out of a girl for all this long time. So it was, I hesitate to say that it was awkward, but it was pretty awkward. I probably should have pressed the pause button. So now Comcast thinks I'm a weirdo.
Did he say anything to you?
Yeah, they were like, is it a bad time? Should we come back?
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. So they think I'm weird.
Yeah. Well, at least you weren't, like, stealing a bunch of movies on the internet when they came in or something.
Yeah, I guess that probably would have been worse.
They actually, yeah, or... Yeah, good.
Comcast did send me an email, like, 4 months ago. I tried to steal Let Me In, and I guess I stole, like, a...
Stole the wrong one.
Yeah, stole the wrong one, and I got an email saying that I better not steal any more movies.
Hmm.
So, but I've been stealing more movies. So maybe that's what they were. Maybe they were coming over to like case the place.
See if they could take you.
Yeah. See if it came down to it, how many guys would have to use in their SWAT team to take me out.
Yeah. But then they showed up and you're watching torture porn. And
yeah.
And that was enough to intimidate them. I mean, they were asking
just
to leave.
Gracefully bow out of that.
This man has a chihuahua and a wish to beat up somebody who's just eaten. We should just leave him alone.
Did just come from lunch.
Yeah, so anyway, let's go into learning about what you guys learned this week. So, Mark, would you like to go first since you're our esteemed guest?
Certainly. Well, I, as you know, because you do it with me every week, and Jason, you know, because you have replaced me on a number of occasions, we have another podcast called Junk Food Dinner, and I have recently started doing screenings via the podcast at a bar here, and generally, it's usually a pretty good crowd, but people have either, like, already seen these movies, or they, like, don't particularly care, and they're just, like, drunk and kind of, like, you know, hooting and hollering and carrying on and stuff, but this week, we showed Krull. Have you guys ever seen Krull?
I have not seen Krull,
but I played the arcade game, which is incredibly hard.
Well, that's interesting because we were talking, Kevin Merriman and I were discussing last night whether or not there was a Krull video game. But it's from 83, and it's this, like, sci-fi kind of epic, like, pushing 2 hours movie with these, like, crazy sets and Hagrid's in it and, like, a 20-year-old Liam Neeson. And it's really rad. But we put this on, and, like, generally, you know, the stuff we've shown is, like, Slime City and The Ice Cream Man and, like, you know, kind of, like, garbage. And so people are just, like, having fun. I learned that Krull is the best way to get people's attention because it was a bar full of people, like, wrapped in attention staring at this movie, like, genuinely concerned about the plight of the people of the planet Krull. So, and that was, it was, like, really surprising to me. And then we showed Return to Oz, which is terrifying, but nobody paid attention. But seriously, the entire duration of Krull, everybody was just like eyes to the screen. Somebody came into the bar and was like, "What's going on?" And everybody was like, "Shh, shut up." So I learned that Krull is the great uniter.
That sounds pretty
good. That's like the anti Mystery Science Theater 3000 experiment. It's like what film brings people together rather than makes them go nuts.
Exactly.
It's Kroll.
Yeah.
What bar do you do this at? This is up in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, yeah. We do it at a bar in Bed-Stuy called Project Parlor.
Yeah. We got a tweet the other day. Those kissing contest guys are mad that you have it on a Tuesday night. They want you to
I saw that. I don't know why they don't just quit doing that podcast and hang out. I mean, it was probably quiet enough in the bar, except for the sound of Kroll on Tuesday, that they could have recorded it.
Yeah, that's what they should do. They should just start recording from the bar.
Right? Yeah, those dudes all live, like, right around the corner, so who knows. Mike Dick did come one week. Local celebrity Mike Dick showed up and watched Freaked.
Oh, yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah, we did Freaked and UHF.
Those are two good movies to have back-to-back.
What about you guys?
Yeah, Frisbee, what did you learn?
Well, I learned after watching some of the, trying to watch in succession, the Twin Peaks series that's on Netflix Instant right now from the early 90s, which I had heard helped inspire the PlayStation video game Silent Hill, that series.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as similar as I would have imagined. I'm fairly familiar with David Lynch films, but I'd never seen Twin Peaks all the way through. Like, I'd seen bits and pieces, the backwards talking short guy, dream sequence, of course, but never took the time out. And I'd always heard while playing Silent Hill, like, this is the Twin Peaks series heavily inspired this game. And I probably invested more into that comment than I should have. I was thinking, oh, yeah, there's got to be like a pyramid head in the show or, legless people walking around. The guy's shooting giant phallic monsters all the time. No, I mean, it's very subdued, a lot of mystery. It's more like Mulholland Drive than anything else. So if anything, Silent Hill did get the music spot on. And there's a lot of, like, from what I saw in Silent Hill forums, kind of researching into this again, there's a lot of direct small references. Like in the second season, there's this one-armed fugitive, and they go investigate his hotel room. I mean, the Twin Peaks series is all about this sort of mystery investigation. It gets kind of tied up in small-town lies. And Kyle MacLachlan's character investigates this villain's room. They find a suitcase that's full of right shoes. And I guess he's like a shoe salesman. In Silent Hill, you go into a motel room, you find a briefcase on this bed, and it's full of right-footed shoes. So it's kind of a neat little cue to it. But other than that, like, Silent Hill is grossly not at all like Twin Peaks. What about you, Parker? What did you learn this week?
Well, what I learned, it's not very sweeping or epic, and it's sort of twofold. I learned that I'm still very much a little kid, because of another thing I learned. I learned that in Vietnam, the money is called dongs. And I laughed and laughed and laughed when I found out about that. Because you could go to Vietnam and you could buy a Gatorade, and that would be two dongs. And that's hilarious, because here in America, a dong is another word for a penis. So that's very funny to me, at least.
It's pretty good. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a grandiose thing that you learn this week. It can just be something like the simple things in life, the small things.
Yeah.
Or the large things, depending on how many dongs you have. Dong is also another slang for whale penis. Is that right?
I have no idea about that.
Yeah, sure.
It could be.
I only bring this up because last week you wanted to fight a beluga whale. So I thought you would.
Well, I don't know about their penises. I just want to fight them.
Oh, okay.
I'm not trying to get all in their business.
Size them up. Know where you're getting into.
But yeah, speaking of fighting beluga whales, you like the TV show Adventure Time, don't you, Frisbee?
Yeah, I. That's another thing I learned this week.
I'm very good at segues, by the way.
I can appreciate that. Yeah, I've absolutely. That's another thing I learned this week is that I have absolutely no shame in enjoying cartoons, and I don't mean like animated films that get wide release. Like if you go to the office over the weekend or wherever you work, and people are talking about the latest Pixar feature and how great the entire movie was and what a great job Tom Hanks did as one of the voices. Now I'm talking about stuff that is on Cartoon Network, purely intended for children. Adventure Time is something that was released, I believe, last year. but started off as a short pilot a couple of years ago. And it featured the voice of somebody I know that Parker and I really admire. And Mark, if you're a fan of Futurama, you probably already know this. But mm-hmm. Joe DiMaggio does the voice of one of the main characters, Jake the Dog. And yeah, I'm kind of torn because I was watching a ton of these that were illegally posted on YouTube. And not halfway through the day, but I was watching episode after episode, and then it occurred to me what I was doing. And I didn't know if I should be ashamed of myself. What do you guys think?
I will say no, because I really like Adventure Time. My roommate introduced me to Adventure Time recently, and it's become one of the more quoted things around the house. Did you watch the one where... You've watched them all, so the lumpy space princess.
Her planet, or when she was just hanging out somewhere?
The part where she says, I'd love to help you guys, but my parents are horrible idiots.
Yeah, yeah, she's trying to borrow the car.
Yeah, her voice, the voice that they use for her is one of my favorites.
That's actually the creator of the show, the guy who did the original pilot in... kind of oversees the entire thing. Mark.
Oh, and he does all the music, or is that him too?
I don't know if he does. I thought that was somebody else. I think that's Wade Pendleton. I only know this because I've watched all those credit sequences in succession, one after another. So some of it's kind of burned into my retinas right now. You are correct. It is Pendleton Ward. He is the creator and musician, writer. Yeah, he does it all. He's a kinder David Lynch, going back to what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, it's a good show. I mean, I think it's one of those that's, you know, it's kid friendly, but I think it's definitely weird enough and enjoyable for adults as well. But I mean, I like the animation style and I like the voice work, and it's a good show.
Yeah, I was super excited for this. I've only watched one episode, but like 4 years ago or something, me and John O, who did this show a while back, we found the like original Adventure Time short on YouTube or something, and just flipped out over it. Like, we didn't know it was going to be a show at the time. We found out later, and we loved the shit out of it. Like, we would, like, in the middle of having a crazy party with drinking and girls and stuff, we would be like, hey, drinking girls, take a back seat, because we're going to pull out the laptop and watch Adventure Time again, because this shit is awesome. And we watched it, like, you know, 20 times a day or something for months and months and months. Then we found out it was going to be a show, and like, we were just like super stoked, and like, every day was like a countdown for Adventure Time. And then when Adventure Time came out, I don't know, I guess the excitement had passed, and I just haven't really paid much attention to it, which I do a lot. I learned from doing Junk Food Dinner that I do that a lot. Like, we're at the point where we've been doing that show long enough where, like, the nerd news stuff, like, hey, this movie's being made, like, those movies are coming out now. And like, for like all this long time, I was super stoked on Thor. Like, man, I'm going to see Thor the day it comes out. This is going to be the best movie. Yeah. I haven't even seen it yet. So
I thought you did.
No, I haven't seen it. So I think, wow. I just really like being excited for things more than liking.
Well, yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, no, I do that. I do that same thing where I'm like, yes, I'm going to buy the shit out of this album, or like, go to this show, or watch a movie or something. And then I'm just like,
Well, if you don't follow through on something you're really excited about, then I believe you remove the risk of severe disappointment. So that might be a good
absolutely.
Thing to be doing.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of the stuff I get excited about when I actually do see it is really awful.
The last time I got really excited in that... Oh, Scream 4 for you?
Yep, Scream 4.
For me, it was Spider-Man 3.
Oh,
I was a huge nerd for those movies, because the first one... I thought was pretty good for what they had to do with it. Two
was one of the best, one of the best comic book movies of all time.
Indeed.
Agreed. And I thought
three was
ridiculous. That was a clusterfuck of character, and
it was so bad.
I mean, there's no spoilers with this one because you really probably shouldn't see it. But there was a character so popular in the series that he had his own comic, and they kill him off. In the sake of Spider-Man 3, they're like, bomb, die. There goes that, you know, series of films. God, like, how would you kill off Venom? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Especially since they killed him off 5 minutes after introducing him as a character.
Exactly. Yeah. He got the symbiote. Really, I think that's about accurate. 5 minutes total time. And he's like, oh, I could get used to this. Maybe I could call myself Vet. Then he blows up.
Yeah. Don't see Spider-Man 3.
Just see Spider-Man 2, if anything. You only have to see Spider-Man 1.
If you're going to watch a Spider-Man movie, it should be 2.
Yeah. Or this new reboot, because it's got that guy from The Social Network, and I love everything about The Social Network.
I haven't heard too much about the new Spider-Man film. I mean, obviously, I can't get excited about it, though.
I'm not
just because I was so burned with Spider-Man 3. I'm like, oh, yes, Venom, and Sandman's great, and Symbiote Saga, and then, yeah, completely knocked me out.
Yeah,
I saw that at a drive-in. And we didn't take enough beer for it to be enjoyable. So.
Yeah, there's no amount of beer to make that film enjoyable. Yeah, not even the dance sequence. So
especially the dance sequence. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I guess I should take that back. I'm not super stoked for the new Spider-Man. I really like the guy who's playing Spider-Man. Is all I guess. It's going to be a piece of crap, that movie. But
well, what isn't these days?
You got that right. Yeah. So I think we're going to take a break. And then we'll be back with the lightning round. So stay tuned and all that. Welcome back to Pool Party. Up next, we're going to do something that we haven't done on the show in a few episodes, but we did it a couple times, called the Party Purgatory. And this is, you imagine yourself, hypothetically, in your mind, to be at a party. The party's winding down. Some of your friends are upstairs making out. Some of your friends are outside smoking. Some people have gone to go get more beer or to pick somebody up or something. And you're stuck on the couch. No way to move. No way to get out of this conversation. Who is the worst possible person to be stuck talking to? For this week, the person I have is the person who looks at you and tells you that they don't like eating at Chipotle because it's too trendy. they feel that they don't want to eat at Chipotle because too many people are suddenly eating there. You see these Chipotles everywhere. It's just a big fad. It's just a big fashion thing going to Chipotle. It's trendy, and they don't care for it. And, yeah, that's the person. They just keep talking to you. They might even throw in the fact that Chipotle is owned by McDonald's to make you feel bad about eating there. But most...
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've said that before. with the expressed intent of making the person I said it to feel bad for eating Chipotle. Oh, now I feel like an asshole.
Oh, Parker. This is awkward.
This one's about me, isn't it? I can tell.
Well, do you hate it because it's trendy too?
No, just Just because it's owned by McDonald's. It's delicious. I've eaten there a couple times, actually.
Yeah.
And if we can get free coupons by my saying that Chipotle is delicious any set number of times on a show, then I'll do it.
That would be fantastic, because I love eating Chipotle. But yeah, but mostly, this is about how they feel that it's trendy. That's the reason they don't want to eat there. Not so much the politics of the McDonald's stuff, even though they use that as an argument. They use that as a fear device.
And it is the trendiest argument. I'll agree with that.
Yeah. But mostly they just think it's trendy. And, you know, I hate this. I would hate somebody to tell me this, because food can't be trendy. Food is just good. It's, you know, all like they're like, oh, all of a sudden, all of these Chipotles have sprung up overnight. Yeah, that's a stroke of great luck that all these tasty restaurants are suddenly everywhere. That's not a horrible trend or a new world order. That's just good luck.
I like your mother's love, sort of appreciation for food stuffs. Like, all food is great because it's delicious.
What's not to like?
Look at those cheeks on that burrito. I just want to pinch them and eat them.
Yeah, I just want to eat it up. I like to take pictures of every one of my burritos and put it on my wall.
Like Ron Swanson and steaks.
You got that
on
right.
Parks and Rec.
Oh, I don't get that reference.
Oh, that's a good show.
I've heard. Mostly from you, actually. I want to take an opportunity here to mention how much I like the timeless quality of this podcast, because we're talking about, like, Spider-Man 3 and, like,
the Chipotle and, like, uprising.
Adventure Time. Yeah, yeah. Like, Chipotle is cropping up everywhere, and then, like, Silent Hill and Twin Peaks. You could really release this podcast at, like, almost any point in the last, like, 6 to 10 years and have it hit something. So I think that's a really good kind of sprawl to take.
That's excellent, because I have a DeLorean and a floppy disk. Well, it's a zip disk. I'm going to bring it back.
Well, yeah. Those are the most practical.
Right.
Yeah, our plan with this podcast is to just date these, to be like, to say that they were released like 10 years ago. That way we can say that we were one of the first podcasts out there.
Oh, perfect.
I did have a segment about a TRL that I was going to use, but I guess that's out the window.
So if I were stuck at a party, and I spent a lot of time today trying to think about this, because, you know, I am relatively confident in my ability to talk to people at parties. And so I was, like, thinking about it, and I thought maybe that it was me that I wouldn't want to talk to at a party, like if I met myself in, like, some sort of Lost Highway type situation at a party that I wouldn't want to even be seen talking to myself. But then I got home, and I heard my horrible neighbors screaming at each other. And I don't mean, like screaming like they got stabbed or something. They scream to talk. It's the only way they can communicate with each other, apparently, even though there's what sounds to be a dozen of them living in this apartment. And they only scream in Spanish. And so they'll play, like, New York State of Mind, like, without exaggeration, like, 6 times in a row, and then they sing it all.
In English or Spanish?
Yeah, well, they sing along in English. They don't like, sing
make
it.
Make up their own words?
Yeah. No.
Or rough translation.
So I figured that if these people were at the party, they would be doing the exact same thing, but drunk, and it would just be way worse. The other cool thing that they've started to do is just throw their trash out the window.
And, well, that's where it goes, sir.
Yeah, they live above us, so just, like, floats down past our window, and then they scream at each other for a while. So any screaming person at a party, I think, would probably be up there. But specifically, because they have really distinctive voices, and I would know if I was at a party with any of these people. So I'm gonna have to say them. It's like really the bane of my existence at this point. I mean, if you ask my roommates about it, they would, like, roll their eyes and just, like, shake their heads about me versus the neighbors.
Are they also cat people? Because they sound like Ralph Bakshi characters.
Yeah, I mean, they probably are. I can't imagine that house smells good, so it may as well smell like cat urine.
May as well. All other options exhausted.
Yeah.
It's cat urine. Yeah. I can't imagine this party purgatory happening unless it is 12 people yelling at each other, like just amassed in a room and you.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, yeah, because all my friends will be like, hey, we're gonna go get more beer and Chipotle, we'll be back. And and then I'll be like, well, I'll wait here, and then immediately realize that I made the wrong choice.
Surrounded by 12 people who are having a conversation around you.
Yeah, and listening to that New York State of Mind or Empire State of Mind song, like on repeat, because everybody left the party, so they're just like, we'll do whatever. I don't know how to say that in Spanish, but yeah. Oh, God, it'd be horrible.
I don't think we have an award, but if we did, that was probably the strongest winner for worst person to be stuck or worst people to be stuck with.
Yeah, it's party more purgatory. Than a person. I mean, it's a whole family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like a Hydra or a party purgatory.
Cool. Yeah, well, now I can call them the Hydras, at least.
There you go.
They have a name for when I curse them. Yeah, but the thing, like, I don't think they speak any English because I've yelled, you know, shut up! Or, like, some, you know, some similar, don't throw trash out here!
All they yell back is, Kansas City line!
Yeah, right? they just keep yelling. And the weird thing is, I don't know if you guys have this where you are. I don't know if this even exists anywhere else. But we have a service that comes and picks up your trash if you put it outside, like in these special receptacles. They just come and take it away for you.
And, I've heard of this.
Yeah, they don't seem to be taking advantage of that.
They just like holes in walls. That's the best place to put trash anyway. Just throw it out the hole in the wall.
Mention that these are not my immediate neighbors. My immediate neighbors are wonderful, understanding people named Maria and John, who I like a great deal. These people, you might even end up hearing them throughout this episode because they've been at it again. but they live a building over from me.
Oh wow!
And above. Yeah, up and next to me. And I hear them clear as day. And my room is situated so that it just, like, it bounces straight into my window.
I find it impressive that they're so incredibly annoying without even being in the same building as you. That is kind of a remarkable feat, to be honest.
I would say it's astonishing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the first couple times it happened, I was like, man, those people must be, like, the apartment above us. No. I think they might... Like, from what I can tell, like, based on the trajectory of the trash and, like, the sound of these, like, Spanish club bangers, I'm pretty sure they're on at least the third floor of the building next to me.
Huh.
Yeah, so I'm bringing them to your guys' party.
Excellent. Mine doesn't even come close to that. My party purgatory was something inspired earlier today when I was at work. I didn't have to open today. But I came in around 9 o'clock anyway. I work at a gym and there's personal trainers there and they're all like really nice guys. But when they're having really good days, they can be kind of very braggadocio about it. And there's one in particular where I asked him, so how are you doing this morning? And he kind of looks at me, shrugs, he goes, well, yeah, you know, about 1500, 1600, somewhere around there. And it took me a minute to realize what he was doing. And then he just kept going with it, but never expressively saying, like, I made 1600 since 5 o'clock this morning, and now it's 9, and you're working front desk at a gym sort of thing. So my party purgatory guest would be basically that guy character from Futurama, who was the unfrozen 80s guy, who basically... He ranked his emotions through how much money he had and expressed it as such. So I don't think I could stand that. Like being at a party, everybody's leaving. You're kind of forced to talk to one person who's there and just ask him, so what do you think of this party? No, it's about $5. I could probably turn it to a million, but that's just me. It's like, don't do that, sir. Just say you're having a good day. Like you don't need to... pull out how much you've made.
Well, at first I thought you meant that he did like 1500 or 1600 like push-ups or like reps or whatever,
And I was like, that's what I thought too, actually. I was how you're feeling?
At first I was like, well, I would like to hang out with this guy. He's probably, you know, he could probably give me some pointers on something, how to take care of myself. But yeah,
if it's
in terms of money, then that's not nearly as cool. Unless he wants to give you some money to brighten your day.
That would be nice. He's like, $1,600? Why don't you take maybe six of that?
Yeah.
But no, alas. And it just got bigger, too. So then I realized it was kind of lying. Like, I was kind of giving the benefit of the doubt. Like, okay, he's just happy that he did really well this morning. And then he goes over to another guy, and it got raised up to $2,000 without him doing anything. So either he's like a really savvy stock trader on a phone that doesn't trade stocks that he carries around all the time, or not. Yeah. Or else his savings account just has amazing interest. So
yeah.
But yeah, does not compare to the Hydra, in my opinion. I would rather not be with the Hydra.
Yeah.
I think I could deal with this guy talking in money and doing the safety dance theme and keyboard style.
Yeah, dude, I would go on vacation with that guy before I...
By that guy, you mean...
Your 80s guy.
Yeah,
the 80s guy. Yeah. I love that episode of Futurama.
It's a good one. I like Zoidberg's sandwich-heavy portfolio.
Yeah.
And now, it's time for the lightning round.
The first thing we have for the lightning round this week is that the CDC has put out a pamphlet, an internet pamphlet, telling people how to prepare for a zombie apocalypse. And this is either a really bizarre way for the government to spend money, or the shit's about to hit the fan in terms of zombie apocalypses. Did you guys check this out? Did you see the tips that the government is giving us to fight zombies?
I didn't see it, but I'm going to be honest. Barring fast zombies, I feel like I have a pretty firm grasp on how to deal with zombies.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Like, I know how to deal with slow zombies. But if they are, like, Return of the Living Dead zombies or fast zombies, it's suicide for me.
There's no way you can beat fast zombies. Like, those fast zombies in the Dawn of the Dead remake, they, like, outrun a bus made out of, like, metal chainsaws. There's no way. There's no way.
No, you can't compete with that. So why bother trying? Just, take the plunge.
Yeah. And then if it's slow zombies, you can just hold up and then you'll be
prepared. Oh, yeah. If it's slow zombies, you just, like, hang out.
Yeah.
Sit in a hammock or something.
Yeah.
Just wait for them to come.
So much as there isn't, like, a weaselly, balding white guy trying to steal your TV and take your gas pump key, I think you'll be pretty good.
Yeah, I think you're fine. And that's I didn't read the CDC thing, but I did have the same thought process as you, where I was just like, this is it, like, they know. Because it was right before the supposed rapture date, mm-hmm. And I was like, that's it, like, they know what's going to happen, like, we're dead. And I was like, you're being stupid.
Yeah.
And anyway, you know how to deal with zombies.
Yeah, people always say, like, you know, like, there's this weird conspiracy theory type of thing coming out, like, that goes around, where, like, Hollywood is in it with the government, like, when it comes to making movies about aliens. Like, they're, like, putting out movies about aliens so that everybody will just be okay with aliens for when the government finally breaks it, that there are aliens. And mm-hmm. I sort of feel like maybe this is what they're doing with zombies now. Like, the government knows. They're just kind of putting things out there for you. But one of the things that they tell you to do when the apocalypse mm-hmm. breaks out is to, they tell you to bring water and food and blah, blah, blah. But they also tell you to bring your important documents, like your driver's license and your passport and birth certificate. But if there's zombies, that shit's not going to help you at all. We all know that the government topples in on itself in like a half an hour after the zombie attacks.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Yeah.
Wait, you're going to need your papers.
They get the world leaders out. Yeah. I don't need my papers.
Yeah. You don't need that crap. All you need really is...
You fill up the bathtub and the sinks with water.
Mm-hmm.
You seek weapons. You make sure your family's okay. And then you just kill a bunch of zombies.
Yeah, you really don't need it. Like, it also says to bring household bleach and soap and stuff, but come on.
For what?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you might need the bleach for suicide if they're fat zombies.
What I found kind of disturbing about this, and yeah, I mean, it's just generic sort of fun stuff. Like, don't forget to bring first aid supplies. Well, yeah, no shit. You're going to get cut at some point. Not by a zombie, but tripping over something, running away from zombies. Yeah. But at the end, it has this sort of CDC resummation of what they do. And it says, if zombies did start roaming the streets, CDC would conduct an investigation much like any other disease outbreak. Like, that would do anything good, though, because every movie takes that into effect. Like, even the show Walking Dead. The CDC is one of the last havens, and even the guy, the last survivor, is like, yeah, fuck this. CDC didn't do anything. You're boned. So, yeah, they're going to conduct an investigation, but it's not going to stop the roaming zombies.
Yeah, yeah, the last thing on this list after, you know, it doesn't even tell you to get weapons, actually. Fuck this list. But the last thing is, never fear, the CDC is ready. And, I don't think people are going to be lining up to get into the CDC. You know,
because that guy's going to set everything on fire.
He's going to set everything on fire. Yeah, and, yeah.
Bad news bears.
And there's probably a scientist in there who's performing tests on zombies, and that's going to go wacky. It's not going to work out.
Yeah, I seriously feel like I know all the steps.
I feel
and
like
I know all the people I'm going to run into.
I feel like the best place for a zombie outbreak, or in the case of the example about to use, a virus outbreak that makes people pretty much the scariest thing next to zombies, are based from the movies 28 Days Later and Shaun of the Dead. Because if you notice, if you watch like the film release versions of those, at the end, the country is successful at returning things to order. In fact, in Shaun of the Dead, it's like, hey, cool. We even had them doing menial labor, so have that. You know, I mean, it's a very, they have it done like within 7 days or 6 days, or in Shaun of the Dead, overnight. It's like, yeah, people were zombies, but hey, that's you're in cool. England, everything's okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, Parker, you might have to change your tune if that happens.
I'll take the zombies over the Brits, thank you much.
You better get used to eating boiled pizza, son. Because that's the only place where you're not going to have to get a taste of that in your mouth when you go to England.
Yeah. It's all just sauerkraut and boiled goose. Yeah, the next thing that we have for the lightning round is that in Ohio, the politicians there are taking steps to make sure that people can bring guns to bars now. And
oh, cool.
I love how specific that is. They really want disaster in this.
Yeah, I think the irony...
Well...
Yeah.
I was just going to say that I think that that might go hand in hand with the CDC putting out that zombie thing. It's all just pieces of a bigger puzzle, and I think that we are whistleblowers at this point.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I'm not much for conspiracy theories usually, but...
but all
but
of
now
our 30...
on the forefront of this one, I think I'll take full credit.
I think all 38 of our listeners are ahead of the curve on these steps here.
Yeah.
When the world ends, it's just going to be us pool party listeners left.
That's right. I love how the world will end via bringing guns to bars. That's one of the ways.
That sounds right, actually.
Yeah.
That's at least a step in the process.
But yeah, the funny part of this, I feel, and by funny, I guess I mean sad, is that soon you'll be allowed to take your guns to bars, but still no cigarettes in bars there.
Which is only going to make people want to use those guns even more.
That's true. I guess they feel that more people are killed by secondhand smoke than being shot in the face.
Yeah, well, I know that when I'm drunk and I get mad and I have a gun, I find it's a lot easier to not use it.
Than the
How
cigarettes?
Many times have you been in this situation?
I'll say a bunch, but it's really never.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, I don't own a gun. That's also been a topic of conversation around my house about whether or not I'm allowed to have a gun here. The answer apparently is no.
Yeah, well, Giuliani cleaned up the city, so you don't even need a gun. You don't even need to lock your doors there in New York anymore.
Oh, I don't even have a door.
It's just a string of beads.
Like... Yeah. Yeah, the jazz musicians that I live with in this bohemian garden, they sold the door for smack. and poems. And now we just... Anyway,
they're all angels and saints. Yeah.
Well, moving on to this next thing. Australia is banning small boobs in porn because apparently looking at small boobs in porn makes you think of little kids, and so they have to get rid of this. That's their reasoning, but I think that, you know, we can all read between the lines, and the politicians in Australia just really love big boobs is really the gist of this.
I draw all of my conclusions in politics back to horny politicians. I think, if anything, Simpsons' Mayor Quimby taught me that.
But yeah, so does this make Australia way cooler or less cooler to you guys?
Surprisingly less cooler. I guess not surprisingly. I mean, it's just, if that's what lawmakers are doing with their time, then they obviously are not focusing on greater social issues. It's completely male-centered. It's not even interest. Who does it benefit except people who watch porn regularly?
And women with huge breasts.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's going to be a lot of job openings now.
Yeah. I don't know. Isn't Australia just a big island full of criminals anyway?
Yeah, that's true.
Who cares? And I feel like watching small tit porn will be more taboo and thusly more satisfying. If it's illegal.
That's probably true as well, yeah. They're just going to make people freak out and, like, go to illegal lengths to get this porn. They're going to make them, like, get on boats and then go to New Zealand to get their small boob porn.
Mm-hmm. I just had a terrifying vision of a future class in Australia of guys who are much like the marijuana advocates in this country. Just because pot's illegal, not all dangerous or anything like that, but just because it's illegal, there are these advocates who express why pot should be made legal in the U.S. That same thing's going to happen with avid porn viewers in Australia talking about small-breasted women in porn. I guarantee it.
You think they're going to start, like, holding street fairs and passing out patchouli?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
They'll be wearing Birkenstocks. What's Australian for patchouli?
It's probably, like, kangaroo pee. Ugh. That's probably what they wear there. I don't know anything about Australia. But, yeah, moving on to this last thing that I have before we go into Mr. Frisbee's things. Vinnie Vincent, the former Kiss guitarist, beat up his girlfriend and then possibly killed all of her dogs. And this is not really, like, a funny story, but I don't like Kiss. So I just want to put this out there for people who do like Kiss. But, yeah, so what lightning round stuff do you have, Mr. Frisbee?
Well, a but prominent podcaster, Chris Hardwick of the Nerdist podcast, will be having his own show based on the Nerdist.
Oh, called singled
the
out. Nerdist.
Yeah, singled out. Or Web Soup, or any of those. I thought this was interesting. This was the first instance I had heard of. I'm sure there's probably another one, but the first story I'd heard of a podcast getting a TV show based on it.
Yeah, that's probably the first one I've heard of, too. I don't know, it seems like there should be other guys who would get a TV show before the Nerdist. I don't know, I don't really like that show too much. It seems like Adam Carolla or even Kevin... Junk Food Dinner. Or, you know, Joe Rogan or somebody should get a show. But, well, I guess not Joe Rogan, since all he does is talk about weed. But Kevin Smith or Adam Carolla, it seems, would be the likely candidate to get a TV show, since they have, like, the two biggest podcasts.
I like the Kevin Smith idea. Adam Carolla, his podcast is really good. He's a great podcast guest also. And yet I only imagine him as a radio personality. Like, I remember watching him on Man Show and when Loveline was on the air. Again, we're really dating this show to be current by bringing up MTV's production of Loveline. But I can't really imagine him hosting a show on his own, on camera. I know he does a live show where it's basically spoken word, but for some reason it doesn't click with me with Adam Carolla. I think he's much happier just doing the podcast. But I guess he'd be working with people the entire time too. So, no one's kind of a toss-up for me.
Yeah, he's not a man that likes people.
That's right, yeah.
But yeah, we should work to get Junk Food Dinner, a TV show.
Yeah,
that's a good answer. Yeah, cool. That'd be...
We're way better than Chris Hardwick.
Oh, yeah.
Lastly, I have, for the lightning round, a meme death. And I'm not sure if this is the first either, but I found it kind of fascinating because I'm very interested in this new meme called planking. And planking, for people who might not have seen it yet, if you do a search, it's like a plank of wood with ing at the end of it. It's basically just photos of people laying flat and stretched out face down like a plank of wood, where you normally would not see a person laying flat and stretched out and stiff. So there's people basically lying on top of couches, on top of a table, just face down, on a row of bus seats or subway seats, face down. It's probably not a good idea, but
no,
it looks kind of funny.
I wouldn't put my face anywhere near a subway seat.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But it looks funny. If it's for any amount of laughs, then it works, in my case. But apparently, one of the first recorded deaths of a person trying to create one of these pictures was, again, somebody from Australia,
yeah.
Planking on the balcony railing on the seventh story of a apartment building, and he rolled off accidentally, and now police are trying to crack down on planking of any sort. So if anybody's trying to have fun creating a picture for this fun meme, they will be given a talking to.
Yeah.
Potentially arrested.
Potentially arrested.
Yeah, I think that this is not the first meme-related death, as a friend of mine in high school died from laughing so hard when I showed him All Your Bass.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, that one caused multiple deaths.
Yeah. Yeah, I think planking...
So
I think that planking is dumb. I don't know. I think it's...
Yeah, I do too. I think it's one of the worst. Oh, cool. You laid down and took a picture. But you're somewhere... You're like at the zoo. Cool, dude. Good meme.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say it was the most exciting meme. It is definitely the laziest one,
well,
which is probably why
yeah,
I like
it. I'm not saying you like made it up either. I'm not like, taking it out on you.
What if I did,
dumb.
Though?
I think that... Well, then your meme has memes have jumped the shark. If this is what we're
right.
reduced to,
yeah,
that might be the most amount of times I've said meme.
I think we should all just go back to posting the troll face picture on people's Facebooks and stop with this planking stuff.
You know, people's friendsters.
On people's.
I'm a wizard, I'm a mystic, I've got a big wand and a big hat, supernatural powers, I'll use magic to get louder for you. And listen to the best part of me, I'm a wizard! I'm a wizard, I drink gin with tongue of lizard. If you'd like to learn these powers, check the phone book under wizard.
Yeah, 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 I'm a wizard of the hour. I got the power to devour everyone inside of my life. Yeah, I'll mess your brains up.
Because I'm all wizardly-like.
Okay. Welcome back to the pool party. We all, this week, took a test, a very long, extensive SAT-like test, that at the end revealed to us, based on these questions we answered, what kind of D&D character we would be, which is something I really needed to find out about myself. I haven't played much D&D in my life. I think I've played all of two games. Those two games both took place after my teenage years, sadly enough. So we all found out what kind of D&D characters we are, and Mine was very surprising, but how about you start us off, Mr. Frisbee? I need to know if you are true neutral or not.
Jesus. Yeah, of course I'm neutral. I'm a lawful neutral human wizard sorcerer. second level. Do you want to hear my stats or my scores?
What's your biggest stat?
Ooh, my biggest? That would be my constitution, which is 18.
Wait, you do?
And I thought that was a legal document, not an actual reflection of what you're able to do. What's constitution?
It's like your stamina, like how tough you are. And you work at a gym, so that makes sense.
Is 18 high at all?
I don't know if 18 is high. I think it is. I don't have any stats today.
Yeah, it's out of 20, isn't it?
Yeah, out of 19 or 20. So yeah, you're
doing
pretty
good. Holy cow, that's pretty tough. I can put up with a lot then.
Yeah.
You're like a fabulous Thunderbird.
Is that a D&D character or an 80s band?
No, it's an 80s band.
Okay.
Frisbee is tough, you knew him. Yeah, so what were you? What was your class?
My class?
Sorcerer or something?
Wizard was my primary class.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sorcerer was my secondary class. It doesn't make sense. I just answered the questions, would you rather read or punch someone in the face with read? Because I don't see the use of punching someone in the face. It's, you know, of course I want to read. And just because sorcerers apparently read, that doesn't mean anything to me.
They couldn't punch someone in the face if they wanted to.
They could have, yeah. But they were busy reading instead. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But you're lawful neutral? That sounds about right. That's probably how I would have pegged you.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's how did you get the same thing? Because here's how it ends when I'm reading the description. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand this. Lawful neutral is the best alignment you can be because it means you are reliable and honorable without being a zealot. However, lawful neutral can be a dangerous alignment because it seeks to eliminate all freedom, choice, and diversity in society. What the fuck is that?
Wow.
What kind of comparison is that?
You're a good guy, aside from the fact that...
you want to chain people up and make sure they don't do anything they like.
Yeah, that's pretty
wild. So it's like, oh, you're pretty good because you're not a zealot, but you would be a dictator if given, you know, enough opportunity. So
that's pretty wild.
Yeah, and wizard and sorcerer, this... I don't know. It was kind of bizarre because the wizard one says that you have to study a lot to do a bunch of spells, and they can be really powerful spells, but you can only do them for a short time. But the sorcerer, which I am also, you have a lot of natural magic ability, and you can just keep doing spells as much as you want, but you'll never be that powerful. So this entire thing is just like a dichotomy. It one doesn't work with the other. You know, it's kind of yin and yang without any advantage at all. I might as well just be a human who reads a lot and has no magical ability.
Well, it's role-playing, man. If that's what you want to do, you can do that. You can just skip out on fighting a dragon and just go read. That's what makes the game fun.
Would I have to roll each time I'm reading?
Yeah, because then you don't have to spend time actually reading.
Yeah.
I read a lot of books while my friends were fighting orcs and goblins. Would I have
to
roll?
On our campaign, I spent a lot of time in the library.
How about you, Mark?
A couple of pension novels. On my
I played some D&D when I was in Boy Scouts, you know, on camping trips and stuff. And then a couple years ago, my ex-girlfriend and some friends and I got together for a couple campaigns and we played again. And but I haven't done it since. I do enjoy it. I don't have any disdain or malice towards D&D. But today... I learned that I am a neutral good human druid / sorcerer, second level.
A druid?
Yeah.
So you're a hippie.
I guess so. The thing is, it says a druid's wisdom score should be high, as this determines the maximum spell level they can cast. And I have a 12. So,
yeah, that's
like a dumb druid.
The worst druid.
Yeah.
So you're basically like Jubilee and X-Men. Again, timely. Yeah. But you're creating a lot of just fireworks from your fingers and not much else.
Yeah, Jubilee, I'm just eye candy.
Is there like an
truly
attractiveness?
Truly like my life. Yeah, I'm the world's most
charisma?
Attractive druid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What's my charisma? 13. My strength is 15. I don't really have high ability scores here. I probably would have re-rolled, truth be told.
Yeah, I most definitely would have re-rolled, especially hearing what you guys got. A lot of the questions on this, like, they would ask you things like, hey, would you kill the mayor of your town if it meant getting more money?
These questions, some of them were really horrible.
Yeah. And, like, a lot of the answers were like, yeah, I would kill the mayor so long as I knew I could get away with it. And I think that's what really got me on some of these, because it turns out I'm a chaotic, evil human ranger.
Well, at least you're a ranger.
Yeah, I was down with the ranger part. I really like nature, I guess, so that's what got me the ranger. That's what I was hoping for. That's what I would be playing anyway. But, chaotic evil, and I'm pretty bummed out about it.
How is that alignment described? Because mine's not too satisfying. Yours actually sounds like it might have some clear-cuttedness to it about what it is.
A chaotic evil character does whatever his greed, hatred, and lust for destruction drive him to do.
There you go.
Period.
Yeah. Right?
Pretty
the
much.
End. What was your highest stat?
My wisdom and charisma are both 14.
So you're like an evil genius.
I suppose
so. Who shoots
so.
Arrows in my eye.
Yeah, I do like the arrows part. But yeah, I'm pretty bummed out about this. And it tells you like what your scores were like for everything you answered. And I was one away from being chaotic neutral, which sounds a lot better than chaotic evil. So
yeah, at least sounds better.
Yeah. So I guess I need therapy now. So, yeah.
I like the idea that chaotic neutral just sounds better. I am envisioning that, like chaotic evil compared to chaotic neutral. Chaotic evil sounds like a death metal band, and chaotic neutral sounds like the next big indie band to hit college radio waves.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm pretty depressed about this. I don't know. I wanted to redo it, but, I mean, like I said, those you will not get caught. Really, things really got me. Because I'll do anything if I know I'm not going to get caught. Like, I mean, that because it sounds fun to do. If I'm going to be a ranger anyway, and I've got these cool nature powers, then why wouldn't I go out of my way to stop a tyrannical mayor?
Well, it doesn't say he's tyrannical or not. It's just the fact that you're killing someone, and you could possibly get away with it. Like, this is a guy who has a family.
Well, I guess maybe that's what makes me chaotic evil, is that I just assume that the mayor is tyrannical.
Yeah, you assume the worst, so you might as well take him out. See, yeah, I agree with Mark. This question and many questions like it are just very bad. Like, I think these are exactly questions that would be asked to a replicant to determine if it was a replicant in Blade Runner. It's like, if you could, if you see your father, do you want to kill him if you can get away with it and steal his money? Or would you
not
kill
him? Are you a replicant?
Yeah, are you a replicant?
Would you say that you have skin and bones or metal circuit? But yeah, so those are our characters, and I suppose that at some point we should get together and play some D&D.
No, I'm not going to do that.
On Skype?
Yeah, via Skype.
D&D.
That's a whole episode. So look for that in the future.
That's a really long episode.
Our first of many 17-hour-long episodes. But yeah, so I guess that marks the end of the show, now that we've discovered that you guys are pretty lawful and pretty neutral, and I'm chaotic and evil.
Yeah, dude, I don't know if I want to have a campaign with you. You sound like a loose cannon.
But I don't think it'll be a 17-hour campaign. I think Parker's just going to turn his back on us.
As soon as we walk into town, you just kill the mayor. I have no idea what we're supposed to do.
And then he lops our heads off because we saw the entire thing. And he can't have that because we'd rat him out as chaotic neutral or lawful neutral.
It's true.
Yeah, I can't have any witnesses. Yeah, so I guess that's the end of the show. I would like to thank Mark for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. And check out Mark on Junk Food Dinner at junkfooddinner.com. And anything else? The Project Parlors and stuff?
Yeah, every other Tuesday. We're working on getting an actual calendar up for those. But every other Tuesday is pretty vague. So not not this coming Tuesday, but the one after. I don't even know what the date is. I don't know. I barely know what day it is anyway. But yeah, look for Jason replacing me on upcoming episodes of Junk Food Dinner. I think that's all. I don't have anything else to plug, really.
Cool.
Yeah, and I should make up a band real quick.
Yeah, just join a band real quick.
Okay. Yeah.
And then check out Mark's band, the Northwest Ordinance.
Shitty Magician. Yeah. Fuck it. I'm in the Northwest. I'm in the Northwest Ordinance now. I play drums.
Yeah.
Say I don't.
You don't play those drums.
I don't know.
So once again, follow Frisbee on Twitter because he really loves Twitter and is obsessed with it.
I haven't posted since last show or the show before that, so I hope you enjoy my timely Twitter remarks.
And
I think they're all about Osama bin Laden dying, so that's probably going to be up for the next 10 years.
Yeah, and they're not even from like when he died. They're from when 9/11 happened, and you just wanted Osama bin Laden dead for what he did to your country.
Yeah, that's exactly true.
They're very old tweets.
Yep.
But yeah, once again,
timely.
Once again, check out us on iTunes and give us reviews, please, because that's helpful. And poolpartyradio.com and poolpartyradio@gmail.com and Parker Arizona on Twitter and all that crap. So see you next week. Bye.
Adios. Shit.
This control, we can't stop getting old. We drop bombs on black gold. We can't stop us. We light blood on big screens. You lied about my history. You hate responsibility. We can't stop us. You keep death in ghettos. White House staff on talk shows. FBI text pantyhose. We can't stop us. I chase sluts through the mall. Cops hit niggas like baseballs. Videotape that next fall. We stop us, so wrong. So what's all fuss? We can't stop us. Kicked right in the brain, but we come bouncing off the floor. You take a bite out of my mind, you'll find it's rotten to the core. We can't fall, so we think and we hate lies. But we wink and we grow large, then we shrink and we wear armor full of chinks. And we love us right to death and we push buttons just for sex, and we dismiss all our vets, and we live foul in excess, and we bean just for green, and we wed poor, change the scene, and we hate you just for kids, and she's online chasing pigs, and we can't, 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 we can't stop us. So wrong, so what's all the fuss, y'all? Decide to give us that promotion when we die. So we burn crosses in the front yard. We tow AKs to the shopping mall. We can't unteach kids how to act hard. We can't stop us. We can't stop the urge to start wars. We can't stop kicking in house doors. We can't stop chasing this money like whores. We can't stop us. We can't. We can't. We can't. We can't. We can't. We can't stop us, we can't stop us, we can't stop us, we can't stop us.